This is about standing firm. I'm going to read 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellency, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Just some quick review here. He says, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. He says that these are His beloved people earlier, verse 1 that we read. And don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Rejoice, rejoice. He was, I don't want to say He's carefree, but you know. All right, there He is saying rejoice. And He just, in those verses previous to this, He says to Syntyche and Euodia. That's it. Syntyche and Euodia. He says, girls, quit fighting. And get together and work together and play nice with each other. That's the basic takeaway. They had been banging heads over something. He likes them both. He said they had worked in the gospel. But he says, you know, so you're having a tiff. Rejoice. Don't get upset over this stuff. Don't be... Oh, by the way, he was having trouble in Rome with the church there. They was facing a church fight. So, but don't worry. Rejoice. He's saying, no, listen. And what you see in me, I want you to do the same thing, he says. He was in prison at this same time also. But rejoice. Don't worry about it. Oh, by the way, P.S., I am facing execution. But no worries. Just rejoice. It's going to be all right. And so he's going to tell them, he said, this is what you do to stand firm. This is the things that you need to do. That was in verse 1, by the way. In this way, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. And so now he's going to tell us how to stand firm. This is right on the heels of the last two sermons about the Lord's wanting us as a church to step up. That challenge about reading our Bible more. But we need to learn to stand firm in this world, even though we're facing church fights, even though we're going to prison, even though we're getting ready to be executed. He wants us to be joyful. And don't be anxious. Now, I say he because it's Paul's writing. But remember, the Scripture says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So these words are from the Holy Spirit. He's saying, don't worry about it. There's that saying that went around when I was in college. It said, smile. It'll make everybody wonder what you're up to. And so here he is telling us, even if you're facing execution, rejoice and don't worry about it. Rejoice and don't worry about it. And it will make them wonder what you're up to. What has he got that he can walk in and face an execution and not be sweating bullets? But yeah, I win. It is said that that's one of the things he said when he was executed in Rome, is just before they executed him. He said, I win. Whoa, that's... Rejoice, he says. I win, no matter what. So the word to be careful in nothing that he has brought forward, he says, don't worry about anything. The word careful can also be don't be anxious, don't be worried, and don't be full of care is one of the ways it could be characterized. But the actual Greek there means to be pulled one way and to be pulled another way at the same time. So you're having this mental and emotional debate with yourself where you're going, yeah, this is what I want to do. No, that's what I want to do. I'm going to go this way. No, I'm going to go that way. I don't know what to do. Maybe if I do this, maybe if I don't do that. Maybe I'm doing the wrong thing. Maybe I'm doing the right thing. Back and forth, back and forth. Yes, I've got hope. No, everything's bad and I'm in total despair. So back and forth and worry. And he says, don't be that way. In one place it says, don't be double-minded. Make up your mind, stick to it, and God will direct our paths, he says. But you've got to be moving. Even the biggest ships on the ocean, they don't have to have a big rudder to be led or to be directed in a particular way. But they do have to be moving. So it's like, keep moving forward and God will make sure the rudder gets turned the right way. But with this tug of war going inside of us mentally and emotionally, it causes all sorts of things and we get that deer in the headlight look. And I've been there, done that, happens to me quite often. And you get things like headaches, backaches, pains, ulcers, indigestion, depression. And by the way, they're adding to the list, it does give the root cause of some cancers, is all this back and forth and worry and anxiety. And he's saying, don't be that way. You know where you're going. You know that God is your God. You know that Jesus died for you and your sins. You know He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. And He will be with you even unto the end. He will walk you all the way through this. So don't worry about these things. The fact is, after careful research, which I didn't do but I did read about, is that over 90% of the things that people worry about, 90% is not worth worrying about, because 90%, over 90%, does not happen, and most of it is not anything that they have control over anyway. So if it's not going to happen and you don't have control over it, then why worry about it? Why stress? And yet I do know people who just absolutely thrive on stress. If it's not stressful, they'll make it, they'll look for it, they'll find it, they'll stir it up until everything is worry, 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 stress, 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 because they've got this endorphin, anxiety level, adrenaline. They need this constant adrenaline push in their system so that they feel like they're awake, so that they feel like they're living, even though they're depressed, even though they're having a hard time, and even though their health is failing, they keep stirring it and stirring it because that's the only thing they know how to do. That's the only way they can feel like life is real. Stand firm. Let's just jump on that. Stand firm is what he says. And this is the first thing he tells us. If we're going to stand firm, you've got to start right at this point. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, the word prayer, it starts off prayer, supplication, or asking for a supply, and thank yous. Those are the first steps that must be taken in order to stand firm. But I want to really focus, and a lot of it's going to be on this first word, prayer. Prayer is just a general term, but one of the ideas that it does push is when you're praying, start with adoration and worship. Adoration, that's a word we don't use very often. To adore God. Every time I think we should adore God, I think of the ladies looking at these little babies going, oh, isn't that baby adorable? Oh, he's so cute. I'm going, nah, that's just adorable God. Oh, God, you're just so cute. You're so cute. That's not the idea. To adore God is to be there saying, wow, God, you are an incredible being. You are an incredible person. You have greatness. To focus on the positive sides of God, to proclaim His worthiness. Now, I also had problems with this because I was always like, we're told not to be egotistical, and yet He tells us to imitate Himself, to imitate the Son, Jesus, to imitate God. And He tells us not to fall into worshiping ourselves or adoring ourselves or being prideful of ourselves. So why does He tell us to do this about Him? Well, because when we focus on God and we start listing His greatness and His qualities, we come to understand within ourselves, God is all-powerful. There's nothing that He can't do. God is strong. My God is so big. My God is so strong. And as we talk to Him and we say, God, I recognize You are strong. I recognize that You are big. I even know that You're smart. I'm sitting here thinking about You, God, and I know that You care for me because it says You sent Your Son just for me. As I reflect upon the greatness and the wonderment of God, I'll be going, wow, my God really is capable of taking care of me. We focus on that so we know in our minds we're focusing on His greatness and His abilities, And so we're reiterating them to Him and to ourselves. And it builds us up and focuses us on a God who is completely able. Now, it's not always the easiest thing to do, because sometimes we really do face some hardships. But King David's the one who set the standard. Remember, King David and Bathsheba had their first child, was weak, was dying, and he starts praying and fasting for the child. And finally they come to him and they're afraid he might kill himself. And they say, King, sorry, but your son has passed away. And he goes, all right. And then it says he worshiped the Lord. He worshiped the Lord. He proclaimed God's worthiness so that he could say, you know, God, I realize that I will not be able to bring that child back here, but I do know that one day I will go to see him. I am saying that you are worthy and you are kind to me, and it's going to be all right. I put it in your hands. You're big enough to deal even with these really bummer of the issues that's going on in our lives. It clears the cobwebs out of our head when we realize how great our God is and that He is able to deliver us out of all situations. Good situations, bad situations, ugly situations. He's right there. And as we focus and worship and continue to proclaim His greatness, we'll finally come to the place where we'll say, it's enough. My God has enough. I am able to stand firm because He's here backing me all the way. He's going to give me the strength to go through the situation. Then it says, after we come to that point through worshiping and focusing on the greatness of our God, then once we say, all right, yes, there is a God and He's on my side, then we go to supplication or asking for the supply. We can say, God, here is things that I need to be supplied with. A lot of times we just start off with, God, here's things I need. This, 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 and this. Thank you very much. Have a good day. I've got to go eat pizza with some friends. And no, you start off with the idea, God, you are worthy, and focus until you come to the idea saying, I know that you're able to meet my request as a supply. This is not something we do out of our own carnal nature or, oh, I know I need this, here's a list. It is to have a spiritual intensity when we do ask for these supplications. We're supposed to be going, God, please hear my prayer. God, I need these things. It's a real need. It's not just a want or a desire, but I need this, or my friends need this, or my family needs this. And He says, you go that way, and the next thing you do is you say, thank you because you have heard my prayer. That is a statement of faith. I know, God, that you have heard my prayer first because I've worshipped and I realize you're great. Now that I know how great you are and you said that you would hear our prayers, I know that you will supply me. So I have prayed for that. And so ahead of time, I'm going to say, thank you. Thank you for that. But don't forget, after the prayer, after the answer really does manifest itself in your life, to come back and show your appreciation. Not just the prophetic, oh, thank you, I know it's going to be done. But after it arrives, to say, God, thank you very much. I do appreciate the fact that you took the time and the effort to prepare everything for me so that when I called upon you, you could say, boom, there it is. Boom, I've answered your prayer request. So to stand firm, the first thing you need to do is get into that prayer mode with those three types. Adoration of God, proclaiming to Him so that you recognize it within yourself, how great He is. And once you know there's enough there and He is great enough to meet your needs, then you can go on to asking for the supplies that you need and then saying thank you very much ahead of time, and then once again coming back to thank Him when it's manifested. So that is what's going to happen. That's the first step in standing firm. The second part of it is, let me read verse 7. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So we're learning to stand firm. Once we come to that point with worship, supplication, and thanks, then we'll say, hey, I know God's answered my prayer. I know my God's big, and I know He's with me. And I don't have to worry about anything. even executions. I don't need to worry about that. He will take care of it. As the children of the fiery furnace event said, we know He is able to deliver us. But if He doesn't, He is still God. And we're willing to trust Him and go through this ordeal if that's what He ordained. And they had this peace of mind. Verse 7 said, when we have this peace, that peace of God will guard our hearts. And the idea there is like a soldier marching back and forth in front of your hearts and your minds. He's going to be there guarding you. He's ready and equipped. The peace of God is a guard against all anxiety, against all stress that's going on in this world. So standing firm is having that peace of God come to us after we follow the three steps of prayer. It's not always easy to get through those three steps, but that is the starting place, and that is what will secure the peace of God. Standing firm, the second part, is right thinking, and that's in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, of good repute, if there is any excellency, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So after we have coming into this right standing with God, then we need to go on right onto the right thinking and standing firm by right thinking. We need to seek out the truth. Remember this, the Holy Spirit, He makes us stable with truth. Remember that double-mindedness, that whole don't be tugged back and forth? Find out what the truth is of a situation and settle that truth. Don't say, I don't know what the Scripture says, pull this way. I think it might say this. Well, it might say that. Go find out what it actually says and then act according to the Scripture. Do not listen to everything people tell you. Doesn't matter whether it's doctors or lawyers, the news people, your neighbors. Does not matter. If they say something that you find ruffles your feathers or cause you not to have peace, go search out the peace, because the Holy Spirit will cause us to have a stable life. When we know the truth, we will be able to make right choices. And remember this, the Bible teaches us that the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He destabilizes our lives by telling us lies. Make sure that we find out what's really going on and nail it as best we can. That whole research about doubt is there. We need to come to know what is really the truth, and then our lives will become stable again, because the Holy Spirit always uses truth. The next part of that says, whatever is honorable, whatever is right. The word honorable there, it means whatever is respectable. Whatever is right. Dwell on those things. Think about them. This is truth. This is honest and this is respectable. Do your research on subjects if you have to, and then say, this is the true things. And then blow off all the other things that you found out weren't right, and focus on the things that are right. Dwell on those and think about them. Do not make up in your minds, well, what if stories? Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? You're making up a story and you're causing stress upon yourself. Say, this I know to be true, and God will lead, guide, and direct me. This I know to be right, and these are the things that I want to think upon. Then it goes on to say, whatever things are pure, lovely, or of good report. Whatever things are good, pure, lovely, go with those. Think about those things. Everything that's pure, everything that's lovely, they're lifting up. And a good report means, is it worth talking about to somebody else and having a discussion? Anything in this area, pure, lovely, good report, is something that causes us to be lifted up. And it doesn't matter whether it's a great painting by one of the great painters. Take your pick. It could be anything from a Renoir to a Monet, or if you like, whatever painter you like, whatever lovely music you like, whatever causes you to be lifted up and is of good report. Think about this. Bring them up and discuss this with your friends. It doesn't have to be paintings. It can be hunting. It can be race car driving. as long as it's good and right and okay to discuss these things and uplifting, go for it. Talk about these because it keeps your mind up where it should be. Don't let other people drag you down and focus on things that are bumming you out or bumming them out. And some of my best advice is to turn off your radio, turn off your television, get away from the news, because that is how they keep coming, bringing you back continually, is trying to get you bummed out so that you're like, oh man. And you have to keep feeding on that negativity. Instead, focus on what's right. The part three of standing firm is right living. You'll notice that right thinking comes before right living. We really can't right live. That's poor grammar, isn't it? We can't really live right, but emphasis, right live. We can't do that unless we start off with right thinking. And that's why it's so important. The scripture says to study the word of God, to rightly divide the word of truth, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. So it's, you got to come to the point, we need to come to the point of knowing truth, of seeking truth, and thinking exactly the way God tells us. This is the way it is. This is how it's going to work out. Even though the world tells us something different, even though our emotions are saying something different, even though our surroundings are saying something different to us, we say, no, this is what the Bible says, and I will stand on that. Right thinking, then you will have right living. And the last verse is, the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Stand firm. Right praying, right thinking, and you'll come to right living. It's okay to learn, but you must learn and receive it. You must hear it. Even James says, do not be hearers only, but be doers of the word. Be doers of the word. Don't just hear it. Do what it says. Practice what it says. No matter how crazy it sounds, even to yourself, you say, this is what he says I'm going to do. And I will do it no matter what my neighbors say, no matter what my family says. This is the way it's going to be done, and I will stand firm on those subjects in that area. Remember, I've talked about ever since I've got here, is God tells us something in the Bible. It's important. If he has two witnesses, he's emphasizing it, and if it's repeated three times, it is something that's emphatic, and we really need to understand it. I didn't go to the length of trying to find other scriptures, but we do know this. Paul here is saying, through the Holy Spirit, live right, learn and receive. James witnesses to the same thing, but he says it different. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. We've got two different witnesses saying the same thing to us in the New Testament. Take what we learn, apply it, and keep after it. Everything I've been saying here is an absolute choice on our part. Don't say, I don't have a choice. In the very beginning, what got us in trouble was the fact that Adam and Eve had free will and had a chance to make free choices. We can go down their same road and make the wrong choices because broad is the way and the gate is wide open. Or we can make a choice to go down the narrow path, the small gate. Few find it, but if you choose that way, you'll be headed in the right direction. It's a choice we get to make. It's our responsibility to learn to stand firm. It's our responsibility to learn how to think right. It's our responsibility then to apply what we learn and live that way. And the last part of that, verse 9 says, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of the peace will be with you. Peace guards our hearts. Peace guards our mind. And even God himself will be there for us as we learn to stand firm and not slide. This guy is facing execution, Roman style, which means they're going to cut his head off. He was facing execution, Roman style, and yet he wrote to these people in Philippi and he said, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Keep smiling. Don't be anxious about anything. God is with you. God is with you. And as we learn to stand firm and practice what we've read here today, then we too will have a guarded life and we will have peace, and we can learn by training ourselves to do what the Word says, to have that life where we have no anxiety, because we will seek out truth, we will understand it, and then we will practice it. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we do praise You because You put this truth before us. Give us the wisdom and the power and the ambition to apply it to our lives. Father, keep us right there and keep nudging us, talking to us, pushing us in the right direction. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.